Hi everyone, it's November 2016, and thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. You're listening to episode 24 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by our resident film reviewer, Dr. John McAteer, and today we're talking about the new Marvel film, Doctor Strange. Our reviewer, John McAteer, is an assistant professor and chair of the online liberal arts program at Ashford University. He has a BA in film from Biola University, a MA in philosophy of religion and ethics from Talbot School of Theology, and a PhD in philosophy from the University of California at Riverside. In the current volume 39, number 5, 2016 issue of the Christian Research Journal, John has written our cover story called Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the Rise of the Comic Book Antihero. John has also written a film review on Doctor Strange called Fighting Scientism with the Occult in Doctor Strange, which is available free online at equip.org. And he's also written a past cover story for us called The Gospel According to Marvel. John, it's good to have you on.
Yeah, good to be here.
Well, this film is getting some pretty good reviews. I noted that it was a New York Times critics pick film review, which is kind of interesting because they don't usually give that designation to what would be normally referred to as a big blockbuster superhero type of movie. And personally, I'm not a Marvel fan very much. I mean, I liked Guardians of the Galaxy, but I don't like any of the other Marvel films. And when I saw it, I really liked it quite a bit. So what would you think is unique about it in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Well, I think you probably mentioned the right comparison there with Guardians of the Galaxy. I think this movie has that more kind of lighthearted tone. It doesn't take itself too seriously. Although I do think it has some interesting, philosophical and theological ideas. It reminds me of movies like The Matrix or Inception. It's just, a lot of fun. It shows you things you've never seen before in movies, I think. Good use of special effects and just very cinematic in that sense, making use of the art form. But then using those special effects to do something, to further the story and to raise questions and ideas for discussion. While at the same time just having a lot of fun with it in that lighthearted tone. So I think it's just a great movie.
I did think they did a good job with really developing the character of Doctor Strange. You know, they just didn't drop you into all the special effects at the outset. They really develop who he is and why he is the way that he is. And I thought that was very helpful to really get into the character. And I personally thought that Benedict Cumberbatch did a great job. I was kind of thinking he would just kind of phone it in, paycheck film, but he's such an excellent actor, and I thought he did a great job. Well, this movie...
I was going to say about Benedict. I agree. I think it's the best performance in a Marvel movie since probably Robert Downey Jr. in those Iron Man movies. Just really, really great job.
Yeah, I mean, he really got into it, and I felt like he was the character. He did a really good job acting. Now, this movie was made by Scott Derrickson, and he's a Christian filmmaker. He's a Biola alum also, and he also has a film degree, a master's degree from the University of Southern California. That's my alma mater, from their film school. And I know he's known for directing a lot of horror films, but the actual comic book of Doctor Strange has a lot of magic and occult elements, and I would say that the film has a lot of that occultic content. And is that a contradiction for somebody who is, a professing Christian?
I don't think so, not necessarily. I think maybe I would refer some of our listeners to the great article that Brian Gottawa wrote for the journal back a couple years ago about horror films. That's a good place to start to kind of think about the relationship between horror and Christianity. And I think Scott Derrickson would agree with most of the stuff in that article. for me, a lot of, at least, you know, in this story, the Doctor Strange story, is obviously impossible to tell without the occult. That's the whole idea behind his character. He has powers, but he's not like a superhero who, you know, a lot of times they're aliens or they're mutants or something like that. But for him, his powers come from sorcery. He's a magician. And so that can definitely be problematic depending on how it's portrayed. I think in this movie, what's really interesting is that Scott Derrickson has really changed the source of his power, the portrayal of the power from the comic books. If you go back and read a lot of the original Doctor Strange comics from like the 60s and 70s, it's much more kind of what I would think of as realistic occult, in the sense that, you know, we see Doctor Strange like literally, you know, chanting incantations and summoning evil spirits and things and getting his powers that way, the way that a real life occult person might perform that kind of ritual to try to draw power from a spirit that, you know, we as Christians would say is a demon, that they should not be, you know, opening themselves up to that kind of influence. But in the films, it's the magic is portrayed much more like what I would think of as kind of a Harry Potter variety of magic that's not realistic in any way. It's literally just people wiggling their fingers around and drawing, you know, fire and air, basically these kind of mystical energies that are, I don't think that's real. So I don't think that's troubling in the same way. But I think as a horror director, you know, one of the things that you really learn from horror movies, one of the main points of the horror movies is that you don't mess with the occult. But, I mean, every horror movie has somebody, you know, summoning an evil spirit, and then they get killed by it, or, you know, open up this, you know, dimension to hell or something, and bad things happen. So coming from that background, I think Scott Derrickson was really trying to portray, you know, these powers as having this problematic element to them. The bad guy in this movie is a being called Dormammu, who I think is basically portrayed as a demon, which he's not. Again, in the film or in the comic books, there's not really that implication. But in this one, he really is almost his followers are portrayed as the kind of, you know, more realistic occult practitioners who are calling on him and trying to, you know, acquire his powers, doing these kind of rituals that the heroes in the film say are forbidden, that we should not do these rituals. They lock up the books that teach them how, and the bad guys have to steal those books. And so I think the movie, at the same time, you know, tries to show that there is this evil power in the universe that should not be messed with, but it's attractive because it's deceptive, and they portray that this evil demon guy is you know, lying to people, trying to trick them into letting him kind of destroy the world. And you know, for example, he promises eternal life to them, but the kind of main hero, the guru who teaches magic, says, don't believe his lies. It's not eternal life, it's eternal torment. So they're describing it as hell.
I was thinking that, you know, Scott Derrickson was one of the co-writers of the film, and there were certain moments in the film where that, you know, specific guru that was portrayed by Tilda Swinton, she says this line, and I thought, that is such a Christian line. Like, only a Christian would say, you know, to Doctor Strange, this is not about you. I just thought it was like right out of a Christian Living book. And it's things that I've heard say in sermons and other Bible studies when we try to focus people on, you know, their life in Christ. We just say, it's not about you, it's about the kingdom of God and so forth. But I thought that was kind of a, not a cliche line that Christians use, but a specifically kind of almost Christian type of line.
Oh, definitely. I mean, for me, the kind of the main message of the movie is about, you know, about pride. You mentioned the way that the movie tries to characterize Doctor Strange, you know, and give him this story where he starts off one way and learns a lesson. I mean, it's almost like a conversion experience for him, where he starts off very self-centered, very prideful. He's a great surgeon, but all he really cares about is his own fame and fortune, and he doesn't care really about the people that he supposedly is helping with his medicine. And so the movie kind of portrays his conversion from that egoism to caring about something other than himself, right? And that's one of the other things that the ancient one, this guru, tells him, or, you know, you have to give your life to a power greater than yourself. And so she's talking in that same kind of language. She doesn't call it God. I think Derrickson was trying not to be too preachy about it, but it's almost like the language of, like, Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, having that higher power that you have to surrender your life to. And he, the movie is really all about that, giving up control, right? So in the final battle with the demon, this portrays Dr. Strange sacrificing himself, really in a way that's symbolic of Christ's sacrifice for us to save the world. And I think that's not an accident. This is really what Scott Derrickson's trying to communicate to the audience, is, you know, salvation is giving your life to God and to I think Scott would say Jesus, although that isn't named in the film.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Dr. John McAteer, and in the current volume 39, number 5, 2016, issue of the Christian Research Journal, John has written our cover story called Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the Rise of the Comic Book Antihero. To read his article, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. And also, you can go to equip.org, where we have a film review of Doctor Strange that has been written by John, and it's called Fighting Scientism with the Occult in Doctor Strange. Speaking of the occult, we were just talking about it a few moments ago, and even though it's kind of downplaying the occult in some ways, still by, you know, portraying it, is it, you know, anything positive that comes across in its portrayal of the occult?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I do think this film, you know, parents especially are going to want to exercise caution in the, you know, whether they allow their children, you know, especially, you know, younger children to watch the film. It could possibly lead people astray. Definitely there's stories of, you know, the comic books introducing readers to some dangerous ideas and leading them into interest in the occult. And obviously, if you, you know, somebody watches the movie, even though the movie kind of downplays that, I think in some ways it may take them, you know, inspire them to go read the comics and then learn some other ideas. But in terms of the film itself, I would say there seems to me to be kind of two kind of opposing worldviews that Scott Derrickson is trying to critique, right? So he's coming at it from a Christian perspective, but from a Christian perspective, there's really, it's not just like, you know, atheism that's the bad guy for us. It's also kind of New Age thinking that Derrickson is attacking. So for him, the reason I think he allows a lot of this occult stuff to happen in the film, like I'm thinking of astral projection, right, is this word that they use in the movie. They talk about your astral body and things, which is really just, you know, New Age talk for trying to separate your soul from your body, or so that you can kind of have other experiences that, you know, your body would not be able to have. So you want to separate your soul. And in a way, I mean, that's definitely one of these problematic ideas. We don't really want our kids, you know, really trying to practice this in real life. But I think the reason Scott left that in the movie is because he's trying to articulate, for one thing, it's very central to the idea of Doctor Strange. This is how he a lot of times engages in his kind of battles in the comic book. It'd be hard to portray him without that. But he's trying to also show the reality of a spiritual world, right? So he's trying to portray the idea of kind of spiritual warfare, so that he's critiquing the idea of scientism, where the only thing that's real is what science can prove and you can measure and all this stuff. And he's saying, no, there's this whole other reality that we need to take seriously. And I think this idea of astral projection kind of is his way of showing that the soul is real. But again, as a horror filmmaker, I think Derrickson has talked a lot about that. As one thing he likes about horror is that it allows him to portray spiritual realities, right? Just taken for granted in the horror genre, there are spirits. And so for us, again, that could be a little bit problematic in ways of making these spirits look attractive. But I do think Scott's trying not to do that. And one of the ways you can see this is how he critiques a lot of the New Age ideas, right? So astral projection is a New Age idea, and so you might think that he is portraying this positively, but he does go out of his way to show, for example, the idea that the body is not just an illusion. So in New Age, one of the things that lies behind astral projection is you're supposed to kind of understand that the limitations of the body are not real, and you can kind of transcend this by, you know, getting into this higher consciousness. But Derrickson shows that this what I would think of as the more Christian view, which is that the body and soul are meant to be united, that God has created you as, you know, one being that has this body and soul that are both real, and they influence each other. And he kind of shows that in various ways. And then one of the other New Age ideas he rejects is the New Age attitude about death, death being an illusion. Because if you can get to this higher consciousness, again, you can transcend space and time and become one with the whole universe, and thereby become kind of eternal, which Derrickson says, through the film, I think, well, that's like trying to become God, right? Only God transcends space and time. And if you tried to become one with God like that, that's an attempt to basically for yourself to become God. And that's, I think, what the New Age people call that is cosmic consciousness, right? To become conscious that you are the universe, you are yourself God, which assumes a kind of pantheism or a monism. And that's why I think, again, referencing the big evil demon in the movie as a demon, as almost Satan himself, I think you can hear his promise to, you know, Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, where he says, you know, don't worry, you know, God says you're going to die, but you're not really going to die because, you know, I'm offering you this other thing, and that you are, you're going to become like God yourself. And Scott shows this to be really a temptation that leads to not to eternal life, but to eternal death.
Well, besides the occult, it seemed like there were some other problematic things about the film, like, for example, you know, just kind of a situational ethics. In other words, you know, sometimes people have to break the rules in order to serve the greater good. Did you find some of these things problematic?
Yeah, I mean, at first I did. You're right. That's a constant theme throughout the film is you have to learn to break the good, break the rules for the greater good. And I'm not entirely sure what to make of this. I mean, it seems like a complex kind of interpretation that is being asked for here. I mean, one possibility is he's just talking about the law versus the gospel, right? So if we think of the idea of grace and Jesus coming and, you know, and saying, like, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, for example, right? So simply being very legalistic about the Sabbath rules and not thinking that you're allowed to do good on the Sabbath would be this kind of legalism. So it's perhaps Scott's critiquing this kind of Christian legalism in that sense. It's interesting that the person who is really all about the rules is on his side. It's on Dr. Strange's side. It's this character called Mordo, who in the comic book is actually his arch villain. But Scott decided to portray him as starting out as someone who's good. So it kind of represents maybe this kind of Pharisee version of a sorcerer who seems to be on their side, but then turns against the Christ figure. But then there's that's one possibility. But I think maybe he's also he might be just talking about the idea of miracles again. So if you think of scientism as the one of the enemies that he's critiquing in the film, the idea that, well, there can't be any miracles because there's natural laws and everything always operates according to natural laws. And that's what they're talking about when they talk about breaking the rules. They say, you know, we're here to defend the natural laws of the universe. And so if you think of that as literally just kind of physical natural laws, like the laws of gravity and things like that, then breaking those laws, as Dr. Strange has to do in his final battle, well, then that would be an example of a miracle, of violating the natural laws in order to, you know, kind of symbolically be God breaking into this order in a way that science says shouldn't happen. So that's another kind of interpretation. It just kind of depends on whether you interpret this idea of natural law as kind of physical or moral, right? If you think it's the moral law that they're talking about breaking, well, then that becomes more problematic. But I don't really think that the film is saying that you should, that kind of the end justifies the means or something like that. That's not the way I'm reading this.
So what is the apologetic value of this film? Specifically, I would think with, you know, teenagers and so forth. I know that you talked about having discernment. I personally, as a parent, don't think I would have younger children watch this movie just because you open them up to a whole bunch of different things, maybe. But but for some older teenagers, is there an apologetic value that apologists and those that work with youth could find value in?
I mean, I would think that probably whatever the value of this film is going to be the same as what you thought the value of a movie like The Matrix was. So most of us will remember The Matrix and a lot of the kind of controversy that surrounded that film among Christians. You know, some Christians thought, well, wow, this is a great movie. It portrays, the hero as a kind of Christ figure and teaches us all these lessons. You see books, like lots of books written about, you know, the gospel according to The Matrix and things like that. And then other people interpreted it to be more kind of anti-Christian because it raises Gnostic ideas and other kinds of, non-Christian worldviews, Buddhism and things like that. And so they would warn against it and teach people to see those things. And I think both of those are probably good approaches. I think that's kind of what discernment is about, is being able to tell the good from the bad. And so it would be I hope we get a string of articles and books about Dr. Strange, helping us see both the positive and negative portrayals of the ideas in those films. And really, I would say it's going to the best use for it, you know, for maybe people in college age, young adults and people like that would be to use it to open up conversations, both about science and whether science can explain everything, and New Age ideas and why New Age ideas are problematic, and then just like we've talked about the kind of the Christian themes in the film too, of how we can surrender our lives to a power that's greater than ourselves.
I definitely think parents, if they are going to let an older teenager see this film, should definitely have a conversation about some of the spiritual things that were portrayed in the film with their student, their child after that. Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for John. So Thanksgiving's coming up. What's your favorite Thanksgiving dinner side dish?
I think Brussels sprouts, actually.
And is there a classic holiday film that you watch every year during the holiday season with your family? And if so, which one is it?
We always watch White Christmas is one of ours that we like.
And what's a hobby that you enjoy?
I love cooking and just kind of doing gourmet cooking at home.
And since we talk about pop culture so much when you and I have a conversation, I just have to ask you this question. Who do you think in your family would be most likely to survive a zombie apocalypse?
In my family? I don't know. Maybe my daughter. She's tough and could fight zombies, but then also cute enough she could get other people to follow her and be a part of her, survival team.
Well, thanks, John, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
All right. Thank you.
In the current Volume 39, Number 5, 2016 issue of the Christian Research Journal, John has written our cover story called Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the Rise of the Comic Book Antihero. To read his article, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. You will also find his film review of Doctor Strange called Fighting Scientism with the Occult in Doctor Strange, also free online at our website, equip.org. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Canagraff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you go to equip.org where you can download our free smartphone app on which you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live, listen to previous broadcasts, make a donation, and subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. So until our next author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.